You're listening to Leading and Learning. This is the place where we talk about practical leadership, theology, fitness, how to create winning habits, and so much more. My name's David Spell, and I'm a retired police officer, a pastor, a New Testament scholar, and a leadership coach. My goal on Leading and Learning is to help you live your best life. Thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome back to Leading and Learning. This is episode number 456. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Last week we discussed this idea of, we asked the question, why do Christians believe in the resurrection? And we presented some information from 1 Corinthians 15, which I'll actually be speaking from that same chapter again in just a minute, give you a couple of verses. But, you know, when we looked at that, we understand that around the world, Christians believe Jesus physically, literally rose from the dead. It's an integral part of Christianity and Christian doctrine. And yet, throughout the years, for a couple of thousand years actually, people have sought to dispel the story of the resurrection. And usually they do it through one of three or four arguments. I'm going to give you three today that they use to argue against the fact of Jesus rising from the dead. But listen to what Paul says. This is from 1 Corinthians 15. He says this, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. In other words, Paul is saying here that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Christianity crumbles like a house of cards. There is no Christianity apart from the resurrection. And there are sects and small segments of Christianity which will attempt to function without it. They say, well, it really doesn't matter. You know, God just wants us to be good people. Well, the reality is you can't be a good person apart from the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, because that's where the power comes from. And also, why would we want to follow a faith that's built on a lie if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? So the first argument that we're going to look at is this one. And this one's been around for 2,000 years, and it's this. The disciples stole the body out of the tomb and then went around saying he had risen. Now, this actually goes back to the very beginning, Matthew's gospel. On the morning of the resurrection, the angels came down and, I guess, opened the tomb up. But the Roman soldiers who were guarding the tomb saw something. We get a picture, Matthew gives us a picture of angels coming and popping the tomb open. And the angels, I guess, appeared to the soldiers because they ran into the city terrified and went to the religious leaders and told them what happened. The chief priest had met with the elders, and they devised a plan, and they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, not this crazy story about angels, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we're asleep. And if somehow this report gets back to the governor, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. And that's Matthew 28, 11 to 15. So this argument takes a lot for granted. The disciples, as we see in the Gospels, were these were not brave men. If they were ever going to fall back, they would have done it on the night Jesus was arrested. The night Jesus was arrested, he was grabbed by a mob of, we know it was at least temple guards, but there was no indication there were Roman soldiers there. So it was just a mob who came and grabbed Jesus and arrested him. If they were ever going to have fought back, that would have been the time to do it. And yet, they all fled. Now, of course, Peter drew a sword and cut off the one guy's ear. He wasn't even able to be effective using his sword. But if this was ever a time the disciples were going to fight, this would have been it. And now they're faced with a battle-hardened, tough contingent of Roman soldiers that are guarding the tomb. There's no reason to believe these disciples would have ever wanted to tangle with a contingent of Roman soldiers. And yeah, they just don't seem to be the kind of men who would have waited till the guards fell asleep, sneak past them, force the tomb open, of course it's sealed, steal the body of Jesus without waking up these guys, and then begin to tell the story that Jesus was alive. And, you know, the other thing, there's really two other things I think that are important when we talk about this argument of, you know, the disciples stealing the body of Jesus. First of all, it's very, very likely that the disciples would have seen Jesus' death as the end of his ministry and as the end of his hopes and dreams. There's no reason to assume they were expecting him to rise from the dead, even though he predicted it. Even though over and over again in the Gospels, he said, listen, guys, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of the evil men, the religious leaders, the government. I'm going to be betrayed into their hands. They're going to crucify me. They're going to put me to death. But on the third day, I'm going to rise. And there's no indication they were going to believe that they believed him. In fact, Peter pulled him aside and rebuked him and said, God forbid, Lord, that'll never happen to you. And the idea of Jesus being crucified would have been anathema to the Jewish people. It says, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, that everyone who is hanged on a tree is cursed of God. So really, in their minds, they saw this is the end. If Jesus was crucified, obviously they were mistaken, and they were pursuing the wrong Messiah, because a dead Messiah is no Messiah. But also, the other thing that really destroys this argument of the disciples stealing the body of Jesus is the fact that all the disciples, with the exception of Judas, who killed himself after betraying Jesus, and probably John, the other 10 died really nasty, violent deaths. I mean, it was pretty ugly. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll see what I'm talking about. But these guys were put to death for their faith. So if we believe this argument that the disciples stole the body of Jesus and then went around telling people he was alive, we also are saying that we believed they were willing to die nasty, violent deaths for a hoax. I think that would have been where it would have fallen apart. They would have said, hey guys, just kidding. Please don't feed me to the lions. Please don't stone me. Please don't kill me with a sword. Please don't cut my head off. Any other nasty way you can think of dying. Please don't do that. I'll show you where we hid his body. It was all a lie. We made this lie up. It's been a hoax, but I really don't want to die. So let me tell you the truth. So I think it really does. When we look at all the evidence, there's no reason to believe that the disciples stole the body of Jesus. Don't go away. We will be right back. I just wanted to let you know this episode of Leading and Learning is brought to you by my book, Reflections on the Resurrection. If you want to catch a little bit yesterday or a couple of days ago on my blog, I actually put an excerpt, a chapter called Why Easter. But there's so many great chapters in this little book. It's not very big. It's only like 120 pages, I think. But it's perfect for personal study. It's perfect for small group study. We're dealing with some of the same material I'm dealing with here. I think I actually throw in a couple more extra points that we won't be able to get to today on the podcast. But there's chapters about why the resurrection is important. We look at the doctrine. We look at the devotional aspect of it. We meditate on it. We really want you to understand the real value and the importance of knowing the risen Lord Jesus. We even have an extra chapter in there on the Shroud of Turin, which is an amazing, amazing Christian artifact, and it's worth taking a little closer look at. So I've actually got an entire chapter in Reflections on the Resurrection about the Shroud of Turin. So by all means, click on the link, get you a copy, and check it out. All right, so we talked about the fact, you know, some people say Jesus didn't rise from the dead. It was actually the disciples stealing his body. A second thing that you'll hear, a second argument that you'll hear, this was actually, you know, fairly popular maybe 100 years ago, 75, 80 years ago. And that was this idea that Jesus didn't really die on the cross. The swoon theory. He just passed out from the incredible amount of punishment he took. And later on, when he was placed in the cool tomb, he revived. And then after waking up, reviving in the tomb, kind of catching his breath after being crucified and scourged, he was able to free himself from the grave clothes, let himself out, get past the Roman soldiers, and then rejoin his followers. And of course, when they saw him, they immediately assumed he had risen from the dead. So this idea of the swoon theory, Jesus just fainted or swooned. And again, this is such a weak, weak argument against the resurrection. The Romans were really, really good at killing people. I mean, they were experts. The group of Roman soldiers in charge of the crucifixion, my guess is this was probably wasn't their first day in the office. They had probably overseen many, many crucifixions in the past. And this group would have been in charge of many, many different executions. And so they knew how to put people to death. They were very, very good at it. That was their job. And then, you know, when you think about this idea of the soldiers, I mean, even at the end of the day, when the Jewish leaders didn't want to have the bodies of those men crucified left up overnight, the Roman soldiers said, okay, we'll break their legs so they'll die quicker. But when they came to Jesus, it looked like, now of course he's on the cross, so they can't really, unless they throw a ladder up there, they'd have to go up and check for a pulse, but he looks like he's dead. But just to make sure, one of the soldiers pulled a lance and pierced his side. And the evidence appears that actually he plunged that spear into Jesus' heart and punctured his heart. So the Romans were really, really good. And when you think about the amount of physical punishment that Jesus endured, the scourging itself, if you saw the movie The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ, it's horrific in how he portrays it, but it's probably as close to reality as you're going to get in a movie. Many people actually died during the scourging. That's how severe it was. From the shock, the loss of blood, the pain, possibly even the tips of the whip itself puncturing different organs. I mean, it was a vicious, vicious torture. And so that was in itself a potentially fatal punishment. And it was usually administered before the crucifixion to weaken the condemned so that it would hasten their death. So torn muscles, ligaments, possibly punctured organs, loss of blood, shock. Then the crucifixion itself, nails through the wrist and feet or the ankles, would have done an incredible amount of damage to the limbs, the muscles, the bones. It would have just really done a number on the appendages. But then the fact that hanging on the cross, the person couldn't breathe. That's where, you know, most people would have actually died, is through the asphyxiation, not being able to breathe, not being able to get their oxygen. And what they would actually have to do, Jesus would have had to actually push up on the nail that was in his feet to be able to get a bit of air in his lungs. And so most people would actually die that way. But then again, assuming somehow Jesus got out of the tomb, he didn't die, they took him to the tomb, to be able to assume that he can walk on those incredibly damaged feet is such an incredible leap of faith. I think that actually takes more faith than to believe just in the resurrection itself. There's no way Jesus would have been able to walk out of the tomb. So crucified, scourged, stabbed, you know, there's just no way. And then another reason why this is such a weak argument is two of Jesus' disciples actually came. And not his closest followers, but you've got Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took custody of his body. So when Jesus, when the Roman soldiers, Pilate in particular, gave these men custody of the body, they took him down, and you know they would have been careful to take their friend off the cross, and they would have checked him carefully for any sign of life, for a heartbeat, for a breath. But then they wrapped him up in very thickly in these grave clothes, this shroud, the other things around his head, and they wrapped in spices that would have maybe cut down on the smell a bit. Just an amazing weak argument to think that somehow Jesus could have survived. And then again, the idea of getting out of the tomb, even if somehow he had survived and was able to free himself from the grave clothes, how does he get out of the tomb? The heavy, heavy rock has been pushed against the entrance. It's been sealed. And then if by chance he does get out, like we said, he can't walk on his feet, but if somehow he was able to, how does he get past the Roman soldiers? So again, it just makes no sense. And then one last argument that you'll hear periodically about the against the resurrection. You know, we're asking the question today as we talk, you know, why do we believe it? Or did Jesus really rise from the dead? We asked the question, why do we believe it last week? But did Jesus really rise from the dead? Well, some people will say no because, and this is number three, it's the hallucination theory. It's this idea that the disciples wanted him to rise from the dead so badly that they just imagined that they saw him. And again, this is another one that requires a great deal of faith to believe. And again, let's look at a couple of the reasons against this. First of all, there were multiple witnesses. Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 15 that, you know, Jesus appeared to his followers. He appeared to Peter separately. He appeared to James, his brother, his natural brother, who didn't believe initially, separately. And then he appeared to 500 of his followers at the same time. This is after the resurrection. And this idea of a mass hallucination is just not credible. So there's appearances of disciples at different times in different places. They didn't always recognize him. The appearance by the seashore in John 21. The disciples are fishing, and Jesus asks them, hey, have you caught any fish? And they said, no. He says, well, cast your net on the other side, and they do. And then John says, it's got to be the Lord. And they go and they have breakfast with him. The amazing thing about hallucinations is this really only comes to people who are inclined to believe them. Remember what we said earlier is the disciples really didn't believe Jesus was going to rise from the dead. They fled on the night he was arrested. They were hiding. When he had tried to prophesy and tell them ahead of time he was going to be crucified, they didn't believe him. They rebuked him. And, you know, we have this most famous account after Jesus' resurrection of one of the disciples who just refused to believe. He had appeared to all the other disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. He must have had a meeting in the city. He had to work. Who knows? But he wasn't there on the initial meeting. And then a week later, and when Thomas shows back up with the disciples and they tell him they've seen Jesus, he says, well, I'm not going to believe unless I see him and put my hand in his side and put my finger in the nail holes. I'm just not going to believe. And a week later, he says, you know, basically Jesus shows back up again, and Jesus says, here's my hands, here's my side, touch me and see, flesh and blood, touch me. And it's just this amazing thing. You know, probably the last thing we'll mention with the hallucination theory is this. The disciples went from being scared and hiding from the authorities to, after spending 40 days with Jesus after the resurrection, willing to die for their faith. The turnaround was instantaneous over these 40 days. To go from being terrified and not believing to now having spent 40 days with the risen Jesus, and now they're out proclaiming the gospel. They're bold, they're courageous, and they're willing to suffer for their faith. The first place we see this is in Acts 4, or Acts 3. Peter and John actually heal a lame man through the power of Jesus, and they're arrested. And the authorities question, they say, "Whose name did you do this great work in?" And Peter said it was in the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Now, here, the authorities have nothing with which to refute the argument. There's nothing there. They're at a complete loss when Jesus' followers started proclaiming that he was alive. Obviously, they don't have the body because they would have quickly shown it and said, no, he's dead right here. Here he is. But they had nothing. And all they could do was, now they've got these men who before were scared. Now these men are out boldly telling others that Jesus is alive. And even when they started persecuting them, it didn't stop their preaching. The apostles were flogged in Acts 5. We see Stephen stoned to death for his faith. We see James, the brother of John. Remember, he was one of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. He was put to death for his faith. And there's no evidence of him recanting, or in any way he stood firm to the end. Peter was about to be put to death for his faith, and an angel delivered him. So we see this amazing boldness on behalf of the apostles that could have only come because they had spent time with the resurrected Jesus. So these are just a few, and I'll just a quick recap. The question is, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Well, yes, 100%. Christians believe that. The evidence points to that. We talked about that a little bit last week. But the arguments against it fall apart when you put them under a magnifying glass of logic and reason. The first one is the disciples stole the body. The second one was Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He just revived after a really bad day, the swoon theory. And then the third one was, or that we talked about, was the hallucination, these mass hallucinations. So all these, again, you just kind of put them under a little bit of logic and reason, and then look at the changed lives of the disciples and the fact that Christianity has continued to grow and spread. And even just a few hundred years after Jesus raised from the dead, the Roman Empire ended up crumpling and becoming largely Christianized. So again, this is a testimony to the power of the risen Jesus. Well, I'm going to stop there. I'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments about what we've talked about today, I'd love to hear from you. Go to davidspell.com, leave me a question or a comment in the comments section for today's post. While you're there, make sure you sign up to get my free newsletter so that we can stay in touch. Make sure you click on the today's resource, Reflections on the Resurrection. And while you're at my website, look up at the top there. It's got all my other books listed as well. I'm sure there's something on there that you would enjoy. Well, friends, thanks for being with me. We'll see you next week on Leading and Learning.